according to his own will. He shall exalt and magnify himself above every god. Shall speak blasphemies against the God of gods, and shall prosper till the wrath has been accomplished. For what has been determined shall be done. He shall regard neither the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women, nor regard any God. For he shall exalt himself above them all. But in their place he shall honor a God of fortresses, and a God which his fathers did not know. He shall honor his gold and silver, with precious stones and pleasant things. Thus he shall act against the strongest fortresses, with a foreign God, which he shall acknowledge, and offend its glory, and he shall cause them to rule over many, and defy the land for gain. At the time of the end, the king of the south shall attack him, and the king of the north shall come against him like a whirlwind, with chariots, horsemen, and with many ships, and he shall enter the countries, overwhelm them, and pass through. He shall also enter the glorious land, and many countries shall be overthrown. But these shall escape from his hand: Edom, Moab, and the prominent people of Ammon. He shall stretch out his hand against the countries, and the land of Egypt shall not escape. He shall have power over the treasures of gold and silver, and over all the precious things of Egypt. Also the Libyans and the Ethiopians shall follow at his heels. But news from the east and the north shall trouble him. Therefore he shall go out with great fury to destroy and annihilate many. And he shall plant the tents of his palace between the seas and the glorious holy mountain. Yet he shall come to his end, and no one will help him. At that time Michael shall stand up, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that time. And at that time your people shall be delivered, everyone who is found written in the book. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. But you, Daniel, shut up the words, these words, and seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. Especially verse 4, draw your attention to that, where it says that Daniel, in distinction from what we will read in Revelation 22, had to seal this book. Shut up the words of prophecy. Let us now then turn to Revelation, the last chapter. Revelation 22, where John prophesies the end times and also of what is promised us, a new heaven and new earth. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its street and on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. And his servants shall serve him. They shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. There shall be no night there. They need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light. And they shall reign forever and ever. Then he said to me, these words are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angels to show his servants the things which must shortly take place. Behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. Now I, John, saw and heard these things. And when I heard and saw, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel who showed me these things. But he said to me, see that you do not do that, for I am your fellow servant, and of your brethren the prophets, and of those who keep the words of this book, worship God. And then follows the text. And he said to me, do not seal the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. Continue, he who is unjust, let him be unjust still. He who is filthy, let him be filthy still. He who is righteous, let him be righteous still. He who is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to give to everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life, and may enter through the gate into the city. But outside are dogs, and sorcerers, and sexually immoral, and murderers, and idolaters, and whoever loves and practices a lie. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book, if anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. He who testifies to these things says, surely, I am coming quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. So first then is our text, and he said to me, do not seal the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. Beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, how important it is for us to use to read the Bible and to do so from day to day, collectively as members of a family, as husband and wife, as parents and children, and also very much personally in one's inner room, so to speak. How important it is to make full use of the fact that we have a complete Bible, have a copy of it for ourselves. Now how privileged we are, beloved, compared to the brothers and sisters in the Old Testament, that we have God's complete revelation. The revelation of his mighty deeds, of his divine intervention in the history of Israel, of his covenant people, a record of his divine presence with a view to the promised Messiah, the promised first advent, which you are about to celebrate again, in view of Christmas. It is a record, beloved, of gracious deeds as manifested in and through his one and only Son, Jesus Christ, in his holy conception and birth, in his public ministry, in his suffering, in having him fulfill that divine and eternal justice to satisfy God's holy righteousness, by having him manifest in time and history, at the heart of history, in fact, as we also know of his resurrection and ascension, of Jesus Christ, his one and only Son, whom we may know as our Savior, and also in revealing of what is still to come yet, before that great day, the day of our Lord and Savior, the day of his glorious return. Now, beloved, it's all recorded for us in the Bible. It's all promised in its one defined word, His self-revelation to us mankind, to us, His covenant, His New Testament people. There is then the Bible, the Word of God. There is an open Bible, the complete Word of God. And there is then also the call that comes to us to keep it open, to read it all, to read all what has now been disclosed and disclosed unto the salvation and the increase of His one holy Catholic Church. Now, beloved, that is what we then want to listen to in order to receive a discerning eye as to the times that we live, so that we may indeed have the assurance of salvation and be involved in the increase of Christ's one Church, of which we have been made members here at this place in this region. So, beloved, there is then the call to keep the Bible open. Otherwise, there is no future for the Church, no future for us, its members. For a closed Bible will turn in a closed Church. And if you look, as what we are told about the Netherlands, for many of us, the old country, where 1/3 of the churches closed down since the Second World War. Hundreds and hundreds of churches. And some of it have now been taken over by the Muslim people, have become mosques. Again, a closed Bible will turn into a closed church. If this church does not proclaim the complete Word of God, that is the whole counsel of God, with respect to our salvation, the revelation of salvation as it is recorded in the Bible, from Genesis 1 through Revelation 22, as it is given in the framework of God's mighty deeds of creation in Genesis 1, in the first chapters of the Bible, and the matters of salvation in that historical framework, as what is given, what follows that creation, and what followed the creation as well as the fall of men. We have to accept it all as it is given, and we are called to read it, to make it our own. As long as we live, every day, we may never forget to start the day and also during the day and end the day with that Word of our God. It has pleased now the Lord God to let it all be known to us, all what has taken place and what is still to take place. To realize what we confess was Article 5, that He has revealed it to us for us and our salvation. And therefore there is that open Bible, and it must remain open, that one book of God's covenant and demands. It demands of us a listening ear, to receive a discerning eye, especially with a view to the times in which we live. Yeah, it demands from us attention across the line in our life situation of every day. And therefore the Apostle John is told not to seal up this special revelation. Open it up. Keep it open. Do with it as I want to have done with the whole of my redemption, the whole of my revelation, with all that I have inspired and recorded during the course of history, which we know to be redemptive history and history of salvation. For otherwise the church will miss out on my blessing of salvation, the salvation I have obtained for them, and a complete salvation, which I hold out to them from Lord's Day to Lord's Day by the official proclamation of my word. Now the salvation which they will enjoy, which we will enjoy for all eternity on the day on which I will return. And therefore, do not seal it up. Open it up, roll it out, that scroll of which the Bible speaks and of which it was recorded. Keep it open with all the other books. The book of redemptive history, the books of the gospel, the historical books, the prophetic books, the book of Psalms. Keep it open. Otherwise the Spirit, its final author, can and will not work faith. He only works faith with the Word. So the Apostle John is therefore told, Do not seal it up. The words of the prophecy of this book. And we realize that this word does not only apply to this last book of the Bible, but to all the books of the Bible. For the book of Revelation is in fact the capstone of that one word of God. It is his self-revelation to us mankind. And therefore nothing of this one word is to be kept sealed under cover. Every word, every prophecy, and every commandment revealed by God has to come out into the open, has to be used, has to be passed on. Nothing of this one divine revelation may remain hidden to the church, yet to us and our children in the generations. We must pay heed to them all. Now on the last page of this one word of God, the Lord Jesus himself addresses his church. He calls out to us as holy congregation, as to the seven churches of Minor Asia. And in that way, as I said, to us and our children, for he had it recorded for us and our salvation. And therefore, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Now, blessed is the one who reads the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and take it to heart, who use it in their daily life. And therefore, John, do not seal up this book. For to seal would mean to close the book so that nobody can read it. Important documents, as you know, are kept safe for generations. And to come, and it had to be rolled up and sealed and as such to be put away. And now the Apostle John is told not to do so with this book. Not to roll it up, not to seal it, and not to put away for future reference. But he has to leave it open. To disclose it completely. So that it can be proclaimed in the churches. Yeah, and immediately. Right away. For Christ says, the time is near. The time that the words of this prophecy are going to be fulfilled, it's going to happen in a moment. In fact, the unfolding of the church gathering, the gathering of the church, the gathering to complete the church, the development, as it has been described here, is already very much in motion. We are the living proof of it. And therefore, hand the church this book, have it placed out into the open, so that its light can make us help understand the facts, may be able to follow the events as they occur also today. The churches are going to be immediately involved then in this historical events as described in this book. Everything written in it is of direct concern to us as members of the church, and therefore we may not seal it up. We may not leave it hidden. Now this was a completely different assignment than what the prophet Daniel received near the end of the Old Testament. He received the charge not to publicize his prophecy. He is told expressly to seal the words of his prophecy until the time of the end, until the time that the words which he had to speak about Israel and the nations round about is going to take place. For we read it would take many years, at least 3 centuries in fact, before that prophecy was going to be fulfilled. And that's why Daniel had to roll it up, seal it, so that the church in the distant future could observe, could conclude that Daniel's prophecy, that the word of the Lord is true and trustworthy. So they were told already ahead of time as to what was going to take place. So Daniel was told, seal this book, for the time of its fulfillment is still far off. It will take more than 300 years before the truth of this book will be confirmed by the facts. But John was told, do not seal this book because the time is near. Already soon, in the near future, The truth of this book will be confirmed by the facts. God says to Daniel, close the book, seal it, put it in safekeeping. For it will still take centuries before the time of its fulfillment is near. But the same God says at the end of the New Testament, open this book. Do reveal these words of prophecy. Let it all be disclosed immediately. And let the content be proclaimed openly, publicly. For its fulfillment is already taking place, beloved. It's about to start. It has begun. It can be already seen in the facts. My coming to the end with haste. The unfolding of history nearing the end. The preparation of the church and of the world in view of that end. There is the last decisive battle now between the Son of Man and the Son of Man, as described for us in 2 Thessalonians 2. The man of lawlessness. It's also that same chapter that also speaks about that spirit of delusion that as willed by the Lord to all those who have turned their backs to Him, who have rejected Jesus Christ as the Savior of the world. They then now receive a spirit of delusion and a spirit that becomes more prevalent all the time, also in our country. Yeah, we are involved in a battle, beloved, that will be all or nothing. A radical choice, you could say, between Jerusalem or Babylon. That is, between the bride, that is Christ's church, and the whore, that is the false church. Because the time is near. And this historical development is on its way. John is told then, do not seal the words of the prophecy of this book. For when these words are sealed and kept secret, then my church cannot find its way, cannot see my way. Yeah, my way of blood, fire and smoke. For that's the way I will come, straight through wars and rumors of wars, through that deadly danger of false prophecy, of which the Lord speaks in Matthew 24, through the sharpening contours of and clear contrast between a Christian culture and a secular culture. Now, beloved, if the Bible stays open on the pulpits of the church, then the church can follow the historical developments and understand the times in which she lives. And therefore, we can do nothing better, beloved, than to keep our Bibles open, to keep on reading it, and to pray for the power of the Spirit to understand what has been revealed to us as Church of Christ at this place, and then may continue to live by that word until that final day. May there always be with us an open Bible here in Abbotsford, in this region. Now may this Catholic Church be preserved by the Lord through His Spirit and Word. And that's how we will be able to discern matters properly, also with respect to what this last Bible book reveals to us. You know, at times we say we do not know what the future might bring. But a church that knows and preserves that precious word will know it quite well. The future will bring, no, the Lord Jesus will bring us the fulfillment of these last words. We are able to follow then the great lines of this present historical development in the light of that open word of our God. So may God grant us prophetic preaching on the pulpit of His one holy congregation, wherever He has established it. And may that word then remain wide open so that believers and their children in the generations may continue to understand of what has been revealed so that we may become wise as to what is going on in this present world. And so that we in the process may continue to grow in the faith and knowledge of our only Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who is the Lord of lords and King of kings. Know this, that nothing will take place without His will and permission. and that he is working steadily towards his great day. So may our God also grant prophetic parents in the homes, in the families, who know what to point out to their children. Be able to say, see, look, there is a signs of his coming. The Lord is coming and he is coming with haste. Do not close your Bible. Open it up. Keep it open. Let it be a condition with a Christian and pious upbringing that that Bible stays open. May the Lord grant prophetic journalists among us. Journalists who view everything that is taking place, the socio-political situation, from a biblical perspective, may learn to cope with the facts and be able to analyze the events in that way. Again, they can only do so with an open Bible. Surely that's the secret of reformed journalism. And may the Lord God also grant active Bible societies, study societies, which gather around that open Bible on a regular basis, for that's the only way to stay up to date. Then we are really with it. Then we know what's going on. And therefore, do not seal the book. Do not close your Bible. Keep it open so that you are prepared before you attend the meetings. And let us also, if you still make these introductions, not take the task lightly, but make every effort to understand that Bible also with the help of commentaries, so that in every aspect our life with Christ may come into the open, especially in the secularized society in which we live, have to live, so that we will testify of God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. Again, do not forget that the time is near. Now, beloved, let us so keep the Bible open. Let us not seal it, not close it, not hide it, not dismiss it. If you keep it open and take it up and read it, just like Augustine had to do with those famous words, Talalege, that he heard a girl singing that chant, Talalege, that means take up and read, and that's what he did, and became a well-known church father. He could only become that with that word, the Bible. So that's how we study it, personally and together. But that's how we will remain pillars and bulwarks of the truth in this present society, and show ourselves in the process as living members of Christ by faith and living members of his body, the church, at this place. We must keep the Bible open also, not only for our salvation as members of Christ and of his church, but also for its increase. That in the second place, our reading, our studying, our listening to the weekly proclamation is not just a personal, individualistic concern, but our knowledge of the truth, beloved. Our certainty of salvation in Jesus Christ compels us to show that open Bible to others, to get involved in and to cooperate in Christ's ongoing church gathering work. The Christian religion, the service of God revealed by Jesus Christ, of which he himself is the center, the heart, the way, the truth, and the life. And without, no one can come to God the Father. The Christian religion, beloved, is not a so-called mystery religion for a particular group, for the initiated, for a small exclusive circle of spiritual elite. No, Christianity, beloved, is a world religion. It does not withdraw itself in a cloak of secrecy into the sanctity of a monastery, but it seeks the broad highways of the world. Not to seal up, the words of this prophecy emphasizes our calling, then, to reveal, to propagate, to broadcast this prophecy when and wherever we can. amidst increasing secularism, we need to live real close to that open Bible, which gives us the knowledge about the course of history, as to where it all ends up, will end up, as to what happened, is happening, and also what will be happening. Only the Bible can tell us. No other book. But we then also are called to pass it on, when and wherever we can. We should let ourselves, therefore, not become intimidated, frightened by those who think that they, and not the Lord Jesus, determines the course of history. We have to show them from this Word of God that the prophecy of Scripture is being fulfilled more and more. And we have to let them know that with all their boasting and bragging, they simply continue to serve the eternal counsel of the God of heaven and earth, our God and Father, our Lord and Savior, who is the Lord of Lords. And we will confront them from this unsealed book with the judgments, yet the bowls of God's wrath, which are going to be poured out on the godless. Certainly, it will indeed intensify the enmity and hatred against the church, against us as members of the church. But that should not stop us, not for a moment. For the contrast between belief and unbelief must come sharper into focus, as also this chapter tells us. As the time goes on, and we are nearing the antithesis, the distinction between what is right and wrong, as the future what Christ has revealed will come clearly into the open. That the very stone which the builders rejected has become the capstone of all that exists. There is it is the stone that causes men to stumble and a rock that will make them fall. And then we read in the Bible, for they stumble because they disobey the word, which they then also, because of their unbelief, were destined to do. As God's chosen people, beloved, we are called to proclaim that word so that it may come out into the open. Belief or unbelief, obedience or disobedience to the only true God. And so therefore we are not going to sit with that open Bible in our inner room, but we are going to go out with it into the world with that revelation of God. We are going to go on the street. We are going to go into the world. And we do so via Reformed journalism, via a Christian renewal, and also with an Association for Reformed Political Action, which especially in the last few years speaks very much on our behalf. The command by our exalted mediator not to seal, to close the book, has to do then with our stand in matters of state and society. It has to do with our stand regarding unborn babies, of preventing life as willed by our God. It has to do with our stand in the ordinance of marriage. Marital relationship is ordained by our God. We have to take our stand over against the spirit of compromise so prevalent among so many Christians. The further development of the world, its increased secularism, will bring the inevitable result of this compromise out into the open. It will, without a doubt, turn more and more anti-Christian. Even though they present themselves as so-called Christian churches. He who is not with me is against me, the Lord Jesus says. That's what he said centuries ago. And that's what the Antichrist, by the way, is also going to say. He who is not with me is against me. And he says it more clearly every day. A sure sign, beloved, of living in the last days. The man of lawlessness is here. He appeared more and more clearly ever since the French Revolution, ever since writing of Das Kapital by Karl Marx and The Survival of the Species by Darwin. And therefore we have to keep the Bible open, beloved. carry our political, social calling, and many issues that confront us from day to day. If we keep the Lord out of it, or only speak in fake terms about Him, and if we attend His church while limping with two different opinions the rest of the week, well, then the world will soon force us to choose. Then it's going to be one thing or the other. There is either going to be a choice for Christ or for the Antichrist. And therefore, beloved of the Lord Jesus Christ, let us not wait for that day. Let us not wait for that ultimatum from Satan. For it is not certain whether it will come that far in our life. Although it sure appears that way. The world of the Antichrist is hurrying closer. It seems to be practically upon us. But even if the world does not force us to choose, the Lord Jesus Christ does. Hear it now. You shall not seal my revelation, not even one iota or one dot of it. Nothing may be covered up. Nothing may remain unsaid. Now, beloved, He reveals Him here as the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. You are confronted with Him today. Now, you are confronted with Him every day until His day of days, until His glorious return. So let then be said once again with the very words of this text of what the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords says us, if anyone takes away from this book of prophecy, God will take away from him his share in the tree of life and in the holy city which are described in this book. And therefore, do not seal anything. Keep the Bible open. Read it every day unto the salvation, preservation and increase of that one Catholic Church of Christ. The word of the Lord must be received with all its promises and must be applied with all its demands unconditionally. With that we must reckon our whole life through. What God promises, we will receive in faith, and with the perspective of a glorious future, we will receive them then with joy and with happiness. But also what the Lord our God demands of us, that we will do too, in the power of the Holy Spirit, who has provided us with every blessing, and that in abundance, so that in all things, at all times, having all that we need as children of God, we will always to be found, abounding in every good work. Amen. Let us now sing together. Number 43.